countrywide on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Caller Gas, celebrating 80 years, bringing energy to Ireland's homes and businesses.
Now, every year, hundreds of thousands of people walk the Camino de Santiago in Spain. But of course, this year, because of travel restrictions, most could not make the pilgrimage. That was the situation for two ex-nuns, Martina Purdy and Elaine Byrne. They found themselves in that situation after their planned Camino was cancelled. So what did they do? They both live in Downpatrick and they decided to launch their own Camino-style walk. And our very own pilgrim, Brenda Donoghue, joined them. How'd you get on, Brenda?
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Damien, working on this show, you certainly put in your steps. So I got my step count in, yes. So I went up to Downpatrick during the week and I went on this amazing Camino. It's called the St. Patrick's Way, the Pilgrim's Walk. For the full day, it's 13 miles, although that is split in two. And it begins outside the St. Patrick's Centre in Downpatrick, which is the only permanent exhibition centre in the world for St. Patrick. And you visit these important sites connected to Patrick's story along the way. But it is given by these two guides who are former Adoration sisters, Martina Purdy and Elaine Kelly. And some people will have known Martina because she was a former senior correspondent with the BBC, has written books, including Book Route 21, which is Stormont Behind Closed Doors. So very much on top of that whole political change that was happening in Northern Ireland, reporting on it. And Elaine Kelly, who was very high profiled barrister in Belfast, but both in their 40s decided to join the Adoration Sisters on West Belfast Falls Road, and they were there for 5 years until the convent grew too small for them to complete their training. So they were like, what are we going to do? Friend offered them, cut a long story short, which I'll have to do, a friend offered them a house in Dunpatrick. They were there during the lockdown. They were meant to go and do the Camino de Santiago themselves. They couldn't get there because of travel restrictions. They were walking around. They felt the connection with St. Patrick as they walked around the area. They also did a lot of walking. They joined the dots and they came up with St. Patrick's Way, the Pilgrim's Walk. Now, what's really interesting is their background, and everybody on the walk found both of them so interesting because it was about healing, it was spirituality, it was historic, it was about the scenery. But like, everybody just wanted to know, why did they become nuns in the first place? Here's Martina.
Did I want to be a nun? Absolutely not. If I was being called to spread the good news, all I heard was news, and I wanted to be a reporter. And so I pursued my dream. I returned to Belfast, where it was troubles were still on. It was an interesting place to be a journalist, obviously very tragic, but still I found it fascinating to come back. I suppose in my 40s, though, I went on a trip to Peru, and while I was in Lima with a friend, I was staying in some very nice accommodation and going to some very fancy restaurants and spending quite a bit of money on luxury goods, and I could see the poverty around me and I wasn't happy. And I just felt that my life was all about me, and it just seemed kind of vacuous. And I knew I needed to change, and I went to the Catholic Church in Lima, Peru, and I prayed that the Lord would help me, but not yet, nothing. I never saw, like, never saw a nun coming. What I saw was, you know, a well-dressed aid worker, like Princess Diana, nice jeans and a white crisp shirt with blonde hair.
Elaine, you were working as a barrister. Were you senior counsel?
No. No, I was kind of senior junior. It was, the bar had been something I wanted to do from about the age of 12. But when I got into my sort of early 40s, mid 40s, I kind of realised that something was working on me. And I really went deeply into prayer and I didn't understand what it was. There was one night I was with my mom at a mass and I had this tremendous ache in my heart and I didn't know what to do with it. And I just said, I took the words of the gospel literally and I said, Mary, my mother, I have no new wine left. Please give me the new wine of Christ. And 3 or 4 weeks later, I was in the Adoration Chapel and I was kneeling there before the Lord. And it was all quiet and the lights were off and very quiet and peaceful. And it was in that quiet and peace that I received my call to religious life. I felt this tremendous touch in my heart. Within a moment, I heard these words, you will be a sister of adoration. Spoken to me internally as if the person was right inside me, but I heard them. But I left that night, and when I left, I knew that I was leaving the bar and I was becoming a sister of adoration.
So you both were with the Sisters of Adoration for 5 years, and then the plug, let's say, was pulled on that. You'd 4 more years left before you were finally professed. And now here we are sitting in the St. Patrick's Camino. There's a lot to take in.
The way you describe it there is the plug was pulled is a very good description, and it was a shock. But being a Sister of Adoration was the greatest privilege of my life, but it was not my right. So we had to accept through prayer that we had to go. Elaine and I and the other two sisters were immediately sent into prayer. I mostly spent that time glaring at Jesus. But Elaine came out later, and she told me that she heard two words through her heart, be amazed. And I kept saying all summer, I'm not amazed, Elaine. I don't see any miracles coming our way. But then when I got the job in the St. Patrick's Center as a contract worker, as a press officer, I was reading his confessions online. And I'd heard of this line that Patrick says, the Lord found me in the muck. He lifted me like a stone and put me on a high wall. But the next line I'd never heard, which is, so be amazed, all you people. And I immediately yelled to Elaine, Elaine, St. Patrick, use your words. And I was truly amazed. And I'm amazed to have this opportunity. It's a beautiful opportunity. And we do use the be amazed as our motto on this walk.
Well, there you go. That is Martina there explaining, Anna Lane Kelly, why they decided to become nuns in their mid-40s. So amazing story. Anyway, they were our guides. Like, how lucky were we? Beautiful day last Wednesday. I don't know if you remember the weather. It was glorious. Mm-hmm. A small group of us gathered outside the St. Patrick's Centre. We went in. There was a big IMAX film about the story of St. Patrick, kind of a helicopter view of all the places in Ireland associated with the patron saint. We started out on the walk. We were going to hit points like Inch Abbey, Patrick's Well, of course, Saul Church, which is where Patrick first built his church, Patrick's Grave, Patrick's Church, lots of sites along the way. Lovely chat among the group as we were walking along. And of course, those in the group were so interested in our guides as well, and they were asking them questions. So grazing cattle, the beautiful River Coyle, a stunningly gorgeous day, a lovely sense of calm. We were given the high-vis jackets and a passport, a pilgrim passport to stamp our different locations. We all met and we were greeted by Martina Purdy.
Well, you're all very welcome. I'm Martina Purdy, your pilgrim guide for the morning. I often say to pilgrims that when you finish, some of you will finish at the grave, to leave whatever burdens you're carrying with St. Patrick. And I did say that to a married couple, and he said, I try to leave her here, but she keeps following me out. There we go. So on a wing and a prayer, on y va.
Martina, you have a lovely gang here this morning, and what a day! How lucky are we?
St. Patrick is often caricatured and misunderstood, and people associate him with drunken parties on St. Patrick's Day, but he was an amazing force of nature. The Apostle of Ireland walking through fields like this, beating his way through dangerous forests full of angry
druids. Windy.
And quite windy. So I think that people are interested in who Patrick was, and they're also interested in the beauty of the countryside. So this is about discovering the beauty, goodness, and the truth of Patrick, really. My right is Inch Abbey, but just we pause here just to show you what it would have looked like. It's 800 years of prayer here. It didn't survive the Reformation, but you'll see quite a lot of it is well preserved, and it was also used in an episode of the Game of Thrones because it has an otherworld quality about it. So we'll just go down to the next sign and I'll show you what it would have looked like inside.
Martina, did you find it a huge adjustment whenever you left the BBC and came under the convent?
BBC is great training for religious life because you constantly have to ask permission to do anything. Coming out, I suppose I had to adjust to the noise. I wasn't used to having a mobile phone anymore. When I was at the BBC, I slept with the mobile phone under my pillow. I had none in the convent. I used to love going to fancy restaurants, but now I can't abide it. It takes too long because in the convent, everything was just put in front of you and you just eat whatever was put in front of you. And I find, you know, 2 or 3 hours in a restaurant very taxing. Right, I'll stamp your passports there, Mary, for you. This hopefully will get you into Spain as well.
Back to Spain.
You've been to St. Patrick's Centre, you've been to Inch Abbey.
Yep.
And your next one is Saul. Well, we are in the cradle of Christianity. This is the site where St. Patrick built his first church. It was a barn given to him by the brother of the chieftain. It's also the place where he died. So it's a place where some clergy say it's where heaven meets earth. It's also where you meet Elaine Kelly, the afternoon guide. Elaine Kelly and I were in the convent together, and we were known sometimes as the terrible twins. I'm the tall, quiet one. She's small and bossy. And it's not a death march, Elaine. This is 10 miles, but be kind.
What do you both feel when you come to this spot?
I knew about Patrick when I grew up, but I, like all the pilgrims, I'm learning at a deeper level what he did for Ireland, what he did for the people, and what he did for Western Europe. So I feel it's a very special place, and it's a place that people can come and get peace and quiet and rediscover really who they are also at the depth of their own being.
I want to thank everyone for coming and supporting this pilgrimage. We hope that you've been re-energized and rejuvenated by this experience. It's certainly an experience to walk so many miles, and we've enjoyed meeting you. If you've enjoyed it, tell your friends. If you haven't, tell the people you don't like. All right, and God bless you.
Thank you.
Well, that sounds like a lovely day. I tell you, absolutely, I'm loving listening to that. Brenda, thank you so much. That sounded great. And lots of people are texting in about Caminos around the country as well. And well done to Elaine and Martina there.